Welcome to the Transformation Church weekly follow-up podcast, where we get to follow up, break down, and discuss last Sunday's message. Our goal is to help create context and drive conversation to learn more about what God has for us. Now let's join our team as we gain deeper insight into this week's message.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Transformation Church weekly follow-up podcast. I am Justin Oswald, the executive pastor of TC.
Yes. Executive pastor.
And that is Brad Livingston, the lead pastor.
The lead pastor here at Transformation Church. Hey guys, what's going on? It's good to have you back. another week, another sermon, another follow-up podcast.
Yes, it is.
And coming to you in the summer, essentially. Does Father's Day officially kick off the summer? Like, is that a thing, or how does that work?
I think there's a day, but I don't know what it is.
Interesting. Me neither.
I just know it starts to get hot.
Hot, bro. It's like an armpit outside. It's nasty.
Listen.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hot It's gonna be a hot summer. Wait till August, September.
Ugh.
Remember how hot it was when Sally hit? I remember it didn't have air. My power was out for like a couple days longer than most people for some reason.
Yep.
And I remember sitting out on my balcony.
Yeah.
Like just, I slept with the door open, my sliding glass door in my room, and it was just miserable.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. And that was in September.
Was
end of July, the end of July, beginning of August is the worst, like the absolute worst. I don't even want to go outside. Like if I could park my car in the church, like I and just go to my office, I totally would.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be a flex.
Something's going on here.
Get a motorcycle and just ride it through the door into the lobby and park it.
I don't want a motorcycle though.
Yeah, true. Because then you got to sweat on the motorcycle while you're driving. Yeah. No win situation here.
But no, yeah, it's terrible outside.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back, man. And coming off Father's Day, where we, you know, did what we usually do with the Father's Day sermon and whatnot. And so, you know, talked about Jesus, but we also talked about fathers, and that's okay.
Father's Day is a good day.
Yeah.
We learned how much root beer not to buy.
Yeah.
We bought. Oh, you got some over there?
Yeah, we've got our we got our sponsor for the day.
Yeah.
Bard's Root Beer. So
we bought 300 can no, it was 23 12 packs.
Yeah, it's like 270 or something.
Yeah. Cans. But we come to find out we didn't need that many.
Yeah. No, we confirmed. We did not need that many.
So hopefully they'll take them back. Oh, Brought to you by Barks.
Brought to you by Barks.
So we got root beer for all kind of stuff. But no, it was a good day. We had maple bacon donuts. We had root beer. Donuts. We had a photo booth.
Are we actually allowed to have Barks in this live stream?
I don't think they're going to come for us about it.
Are you serious? Is that a thing we need to be aware of?
You can't put product placement whenever it's not accepted. But, you know, hey, whatever. Do us, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Justin has on like polo or something. Is that a Built shirt?
Is it a Built? Yeah.
Oh, it's a Built shirt? Okay. Built, yeah. Not a polo.
Not a polo. It's a polo style.
Right.
It's not
right.
A Ralph Lauren polo.
Right. Exactly.
I have those too.
Oh, we know. We're well aware.
I have those too. Yeah. I like the Built shirts though. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
They feel great.
I might have to give me some.
Highly recommend Built, BYLT. Built Basics, I think, is the website. Anyways, I don't know.
We're just out here like giving everyone the shout out. We might as well start.
It's a branded podcast.
Hey, Built wants to hook brother up for promoting.
Yeah, if y'all want to, Built wants to sponsor us. Let's go. I will gladly accept.
Yeah, no, I need to slim up a little bit though, so I look good in their shirts.
Yeah, I feel that.
I'm ready for a pill.
Fix my shirt. Now we're talking.
I'm waiting for a pill to come out.
Self-conscious. Yeah. That instant weight loss pill.
Listen, we got people. We got devices and vehicles on Mars. Okay? It's time. You know? It's time.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It is 2021. I feel like we should have got there already. Some people are like, well, you should just work out more.
Well. Who wants to do that?
Who wants to do that? Yeah, no, it's it was a good day. Root beer, maple bacon donuts. Bro, those maple bacon donuts were hitting on Sunday.
I did not eat one.
Why? And mine.
I just did. I mean, I've had them before. I liked them. I just did not eat one for no particular
reason.
They were
delicious.
Yeah.
I know someone that had like six.
They're good. So let's shout them out. Licking Good Donuts.
Right
here at Mobile Highway and Pine Forest in the little shopping center next to Good Grits
and the hot dog place.
And the,
you say Good Grits?
What's the name of it?
True Grit.
True Grit, Good Grits. Good Grits. Good Grits, True Grit, whatever. True Grit has Good Grits. And Whacked Out Wiener and all that's in there. Fantastic little bakery. Great donuts. Apple fritter is fantastic.
Apple fritters are dangerous, bro.
Yes, they are.
I had one fresh out the fryer. Like, fresh out of the fryer, the glaze was barely sticking to it. It was so hot, and it tasted like a funnel cake with apple in it.
Mm.
It was delicious. That's a problem. I have to stay away from. I can't pass them.
He gave me and John a free apple fritter the day we went and ordered all the donuts for Father's Day.
Oh,
I guess when you order, you know.
Yeah, you ordered 28 dozen or whatever
donuts. They can throw in 2 free apple fritters.
Yeah, so
but we appreciated it nonetheless.
Yeah, no, they're good. Go check them out. People were asking, so there's your answer. Where we get the donuts from? Licking Good Donuts, Mobile Highway, Pine Forest, merge right there, little shopping plaza,
local, kind of close to this little action. Local spot.
Yeah, so go give them a shot. Tell them you're from TC. Let them know that their advertisement goal worked.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, let them know you're from here. Get you some donuts. I know Jay Gilliard's probably already went by there 3 times. So,
yeah. No, Father's Day was always a good time. And then, you know, did y'all do Father's Day activities? John, is this your first Father's Day or your second?
It's my second, but technically it's my first with him, like, actually acknowledging who I am.
Oh. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Did y'all do Father's Day stuff?
Yeah, we did some stuff. But, like, nothing big. Did like little present openings and
did they get you something good?
Huh?
Did they get you something good?
Star Wars poster?
No. She, you're gonna laugh at this.
I have no doubt.
So I'm at the age now where I have a lot of nose hair.
Okay.
So I had to get nose hair trimmers.
Your wife bought you that?
And she bought me that.
That was more of a gift for her. Sounds like.
Dang.
It's like getting her a vacuum on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
She also got me a new wallet, which it was super cheap, but it was like super thin.
Oh, I like thin wallets.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I've been eyeing a new wallet lately. I was looking at Justin's.
I use this little elastic thing.
I know. I was looking at yours, and I haven't ordered one yet. I need to get one.
I want to eventually get a Rigid, but for now, this is
Rigid or Ridge?
Rid? I thought it was Rigid.
I think it's Ridge.
Is it Ridge?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw an ad for those reasons because I was looking at wallets myself. It's so funny where I'm looking at wallets. I like a real minimal.
Yeah.
I put it in my front pocket. I don't like carrying a wallet in my back pocket. But, you know, so check this out. Did y'all watch the new Apple thing a week or two ago?
No.
They talked about the new iOS that comes out in September.
No.
Right? They do that. Anyways, you know the Apple, the wallet where you have your cards and stuff?
Yeah.
That's great, but they're now getting to where, and then they're partnering, more and more states are going to do it where you can actually have like your driver's license and all in your wallet on your phone.
Hmm.
So getting to a place where you don't actually have to carry a wallet necessarily because it's all on your wallet on your phone. And I know that sounds like some people think
some
that
government tracking stuff, Justin.
Listen, they're already doing that.
I'm just kidding. Go
They've
ahead.
Been doing that.
I got to tell you a funny story.
What I'm saying is like, to not have to carry a wallet would be awesome because if my debit card, my ID and all that was just in my phone, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't even necessarily carry it.
One thing that has happened over the last year and a half, everybody accepts electronic payment now, which I really like. You know, there for a while, I was like, yeah, do you have Apple Pay? No. It's like, it's 2021. Come on. Mm-hmm. And, but now, you know what I mean? Like, when everyone's trying to go to electronic payment options, everybody kind of stepped their game up on that, and I'm really grateful.
Yeah, me too.
So, love that. But, yeah, no, bro, I saw it, not to get sideways on this because it could really quickly, especially with Justin on the podcast, but the other day I saw something online, and it said it was someone tweeted, and they were like, y'all going to stop with all this facial recognition software because all they're going to do is steal your identity. And then someone tweeted back and was like, wait till you find out about driver's licenses.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was
so
good.
True.
And it was like a picture of the driver, like the face on the driver's license. Like, yeah, they've got plenty of that, buddy. Anyways, I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. So
That's like, yeah, you know, listen, they got you on video. It's like I saw, I like the videos on YouTube of like First Amendment audits. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but sometimes like people are like in public like recording and then some, you know, some Karen out there gets mad. It's like, don't film me. You don't have the right to film me. It's like, you're in public. Like, you're literally on 20 cameras right now. Like, yeah. There's cameras everywhere. You're
literally everywhere.
You know, so it's like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
There's no expectation of privacy when you're out in public.
Yeah, no, there's literally like, there's a camera, what is it, every mile or every other mile, even on the interstate now.
Oh, they're everywhere, bro.
Like, it's crazy.
It's like if, I mean, there was a robbery right down the road from us a few months ago.
Yep.
There's a little HVAC guy or something. And I don't know what he does, to be honest with you. But anyways, some thieves broke in and, like, cut all the catalytic converters off of all their company trucks one night. And then, so the police came by here wanting to know if we have any cameras that point out to the road or to our parking lot. Because apparently the guy, the company across the street, the Clay Pit people, they have a camera that shows that the thieves turned around in our parking lot.
Oh.
So it's like, man, there's just cameras everywhere. They go track it down. It's like they don't all have to be tied to some, like, the NSA that they're all watching. But, like, everybody's got camera. Like, everybody's got a Ring doorbell now. And it's like,
facts.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. The idea of
– we can get a play-by-play with Ring doorbells just in neighborhoods.
Speaking of cameras, do you think we have the footage of you falling the other day?
No, I don't think we have a camera. I think it's one of the only places in the building that we don't have footage of. So to catch y'all up.
Bro, I am sore today.
That's why you're sore.
That's why I'm sore. Yeah, no, seriously. My whole right side is sore.
Bro, I so wish we were to
give
them
the rundown on that, because, I mean, it was so funny. You were laughing, and
I was laughing for 30 minutes after sitting like this. It was funny because, like, I'm not a clumsy person or anything like that. So back in the offices, down the hallway, there's a door that goes into one of the kids' rooms, and that's where the refrigerator for the church is.
It's like a side door.
It's a side door. So we had all these extra root beers. So I was gonna get one. I think Charity was here and she wanted one. So I was walking back there to get some root beers for us. And anyways, I walked in the room. Now it's pitch black because there's not a light right there, but like I know exactly where the refrigerator is. You know, no big deal. Well, apparently they had a fan or something plugged in there, and the cord stretched across. So as soon as I just walked in, so it was all one motion though. Like you opened the door, you took two steps into the door, hadn't shut behind me or nothing yet. And I tripped on the cord, and you know when you fall and you just kind of like, you know you're falling, or like, oh crap, I tripped. Like, it's like slow motion. This was not slow motion. I tripped, and the next thing I know, I was literally on the tile, on the ground, all contorted.
God, I wish I was there for that.
Oh, y'all had died laughing. It hurt, though. Like, I felt pretty good. Like, it did hurt. You know, like, it hurt for a second, and you're like, holy, and I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, what just happened? And I'm, like, I was all contorted. Like, I didn't just fall. I don't know what happened.
I heard it.
I broke the fan.
I heard it and was like, I wonder what that was.
That was me. Yeah,
literally, all of us heard it. We heard a ksh.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Like, we were just like, all right.
Well, yeah, I figured if it was something serious, you're going to usually hear, like, ksh, and someone's like, ow. And it was like,
no, I didn't make, yeah, I didn't, yeah,
you
holler
didn't make
or
a
nothing.
Sound, bro.
Yeah, I was like, what happened?
I think you made a sound. It was probably more of a,
oh, yeah, surely yeah. Those sound. No, there was no
grunt.
Y'all would have died if y'all would have saw it.
Oh, I have no doubt. I wish we had that.
It did hurt, though, but awesome. I was laughing for 30 minutes after. I mean, you said something. I was in my office just sitting at my desk. And laughing about it.
And you
it.
Busted out laughing. I was like, bro, you still laughing about that? He's like, yeah.
I mean, because I'm not clumsy. Like, normally that's not something that would happen to me. But, like, I guess in the pitch black and, you know, a cord stretched across, you know, a walk path. But, oh, I ate it. And I'm literally sore. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah. So, that's what happened to me. It's a good time.
Speaking of being sore, I saw a new chiropractor. I'm going to send you the video.
On YouTube?
Person. Yeah.
I bet I've seen it.
The lady? Have you seen the lady yet?
I've seen some ladies.
All right. There's one in particular I'm going to send to you. She's like a massage therapist, chiropractor.
Yeah, she wears the leggings and stuff.
Yep.
Been seeing her, yeah.
Oh, man. I saw her, a video from her yesterday.
She's more massage therapist than chiropractor. Yeah. In her, the way she does it, yeah, which I'm for. Every she does person that, scraping.
Yeah, every person that comes out of a massage or a whatever, an appointment with her, it looks like they just went 12 rounds.
Yeah, I don't know what that scraping does. I just know it looks terrible.
Yeah, it looks, yeah.
And that's it like, looks you look painful.
Like, you look like you fought a bobcat.
But I don't know what, well, I don't, it's metal, and then she scrapes, and then it does something, like, I don't know what.
It's like, I think it's moving around like the, built up fluid that creates knots. I don't know. I'm not a scrapologist. Yeah.
No, I'm well aware of her. Her name's Mondrian or something. Mondrian or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yep. Anyways, very, yep. Saw that.
For those who are unaware, I like chiropractor videos.
We watch a lot of chiropractor
on
videos. Yeah.
So. It's weird. Anyways.
Y strap. What is that one dude? The tibio lift?
The tubio lift.
Tubio lift.
I'm all for that. Yeah.
So.
Anyways, I love the chiropractor.
Has nothing to do. Speaking of people loving chiropractors, Father's Day was this past week. What a segue. It was a good day. And we talked about fathers. And, like, man, we've talked about your dad before. Your dad's a, what's the word? Unique character.
I mean, sometimes, yeah. I mean,
just like he reminds me a lot of you.
That would be fair, probably.
Like, that would be fair. Like you got a lot of you came from
him.
Rusty, right?
Rusty.
No, Rusty's my pool guy.
Rocky.
I think no. Rocky's my pool guy.
No, Rocky's my dad.
Maybe both are Rocky.
Maybe
I thought one was Rusty. Anyways, irrelevant at this point. So, yeah, Rocky. There's a lot of Justin in Rocky, or Rocky and Joe, however that works.
Yeah, surely.
Like, you know.
He's great.
What are the ways you think you're alike?
Apparently I have a similar laugh to him, which I never noticed, but someone told me. I think part of maybe how we think a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm getting older, I like stupid kind of, I don't want to use the word dad jokes, but that's, I guess essentially what they are, like stupid jokes that, you know, when you're younger, you always thought were corny. But now that I'm getting older, even the corniness is part of the funny. You know?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. He's pretty smart, too. I mean, he's pretty intelligent. Yeah, he's intelligent in his own way. And he's intelligent, but he didn't do a whole lot with it. And I don't mean that as a knock, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure. Okay.
And I mean, he was a fireman for years. That's what he loved. He was a city Pensacola until he hurt himself. I mean, mm-hmm. My dad's been retired since 95 or 6.
Wow.
He was my age when he retired on disability. We were just talking about that the other day, Sunday when I saw him for Father's Day.
Right.
I couldn't imagine retiring at my age, like how bored I feel like I would be, because it wasn't like you retire because like you have all this money and you're like golfing and traveling the world. I mean, he retired on disability. He had a hurt back. He hurt his back at work, and
then they monitor that kind of stuff. Like they'll check in on you and make sure you're actually disabled.
Got some good stories about that too, by the way. they do. They send like, you know, and I get it. I do get it. You know, there's a lot of people that try to scam workman's comp and claim back. Yeah, like, so yeah. I do get it. They make sure you're really hurt before they pay you money and all that. So I totally get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, then he's just been retired, you know, and so it's not like I say he didn't do a lot with it. I mean, he raised us. I mean, he was always present with us, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I think he's probably smarter than he gives himself credit for, or the others would give him credit for. But
right
yeah,
on,
you know. But yeah, no, old Rocky.
Old
he drives
Rocky.
A truck now,
like an 18-wheel, like a big rig,
seriously. But a tankers, like what are they called,
like hazardous waste,
yeah, like chemicals and stuff.
Wow.
And likes it. He just, I guess, got bored enough, and was like, I'm gonna do this for a while. So he drives all over the East Coast, tanker trucks. I think it's funny. I think it's cool. He's like, you know.
And do you, Rocky?
It's making good money. So, hey.
Hey, man.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But no, he's great. He was a great dad. He was a great father for me and my brother. And then now my stepbrothers, I mean, he's been in their life. I mean, the youngest one is 18 or 19. He's in college now. And he was only like 6 months old when he came in the picture. So, I mean, my dad's been in their life for 18, 19, 20 years. So, he's been great for all of us. Good dad. I know some people don't have it, and I feel bad for that. I hate that because I know mine was great.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, John? You like your dad?
Dude, I love my dad.
No, that I mean to say, like, are you like your dad? Not like, do you?
Do you like your dad?
Do you like your dad?
I love my dad.
He's been all right, you know.
John's dad's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people think that in a sense. I mean, I'm starting to look more and more like him. Like, all my family members are like, hey, you look like Johnny.
Aren't
I'm
you like, a junior?
Yeah.
They call you junior, don't they?
JJ.
Well, half of the family does. The other half just calls me.
Doesn't your brother call you junior?
Which is funny because my dad has stopped calling me that, and he started calling me by just my normal name. That shift happened, like, after I turned 21, which was weird. Because long time, he didn't call me that. Interesting. But, yeah.
JJ.
Yep. John Jr.
John Jr.
Junior.
Junior. So, I start calling you J Deuce.
No.
Out of the 500 other nicknames you have for me?
Hey.
Johnny Halfstack.
That's the good one.
Yep. Satmaster.
That's a good one, too.
Johnny Halfshoulder.
He gave that one himself.
But yeah, my dad was a sheriff for 30 years here in Escambia.
Oh.
So he did that for quite a while, obviously. And then he retired in 2007 and has been living the retired life ever since.
Right on.
Must be nice. All these retired guys.
Yeah.
No. They put in their due.
Here's the deal. Yeah. And I mean, like, yeah. Same for me. My dad, you know, PD, following his footsteps a little bit. We're very similar in a lot of ways. We're very different in a lot of ways. But yeah, he's been a pastor my whole life, other than the 10 year where he did financial services. And yeah.
And even that, maybe it's still there, you know?
Oh yeah. No, always there. Yeah, for right, sure. For sure. Always there. Cause that's what, man, we talked about it on Sunday. The importance, like the level of importance of fathers in kids' lives is, I think it's, we know how important it is. We know how valuable, we know how necessary it is, but I think it's just like underappreciated when it's right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I literally told a guy the other day, I was at, what restaurant was that? Philly's. With my mom, and we were getting something to eat, and I saw a young guy had his kids with him or whatever, and he you could just tell he was a good dad. He was present. His son, who was probably, I'm not good with ages, maybe 4-5 years old, old enough to start listening and saying yes sir. So like, how, whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, his son did something, and he got onto him, but not like, you're an idiot. Like, he got onto him like, hey, don't do that. And let me tell you why you shouldn't do that. You know, like teaching him. And I was just like, and while I was walking by him, and I was like, hey, man, you're a really good dad. Like, but it's gotten to where it's like, it's almost so unheard of to be a good father nowadays.
Yeah.
When you see it, you just want to be like, good job, man. Like, way to go. And
that's
a
shame.
It is, man. It's unfortunate.
Fatherlessness and all that.
Man, yeah. And I genuinely believe, like, I really believe, like, the demise to an extent. I love being an American. I love living here. Blah, 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 get all that away. One of the reasons why our country is suffering in the ways that it is suffering is fatherlessness. Fatherlessness plays a huge role in the reason why the areas of our country that are unhealthy. And I think that plays a huge role. And I'm not going to go into all the, you know, political and social parts of that conversation. That's a different podcast for another day. But the idea behind fathers being in the home, being able to step up and be in the home, like all of those things are so vital, man, in the success of an upbringing of our kids. And so on and so forth. And so, man, those things are just super, super important. And so fathers play a huge role in the lives of kids. And so that's kind of what we unpacked on Sunday. You know, on Sunday we talked about, you know, spiritual discipline, humility, and instruction. Like three things that fathers need to have, right? And Man, I think that's that is so important. Like the spiritual disciplines, I feel like we got a lot of fathers right now, and mothers, to be fair, but a lot of fathers right now that are hoping that their kids are going to be what they've wanted them to be without showing them to be it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, for example, man, I really want my kid to love God, but we're going to go to church periodically, not take it very serious, and I'm never going to worship, read my Bible, or pray in front of them.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, I want my kid to be something, but I'm not in any shape, form, or fashion showing them what it looks like to be that. And it's like, bro, like, we have to have better, like, not just spiritual disciplines, but representing spiritual disciplines better. Like, I don't feel like fathers are doing that well.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
a lot of them.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah, a lot of them. There's some of you guys are killing it, and I'm two big thumbs up. You know what I mean? So, but I think that's huge,
well,
man.
You even mentioned, and I know we've talked about it on the podcast before, but you even mentioned Sunday something along the lines of, like to parent, you know, to, you're kind of talking to dad's parents, whatever, but it's like, we can't fix your kid.
Oh,
yeah. Know, like, I think sometimes people see kid ministry, kid church, and like youth ministry in churches is like the fix all. It's like, bro, we get your kids an hour a week.
Yeah. Listen, there's 168 hours in the week and we get them for one. Like
maybe two,
Yeah, right. Right. Dream Team Kids, maybe three. But like, yeah, essentially we are. So here's the reality. Let me just help you guys out a little bit, just so we can be clear. All right.
Yep.
First of all, what we do at the church is supposed to be supplemental, not instrumental. So like, we're supposed to supplement what you're doing at home. You have your kids way more than we do. So if you're not teaching them, I remember it happened. I was sitting one time, I was young, dude, this is a long time ago, and I think I've said this story, but I'm going to say it again. I was sitting, I was younger, in my early teenage years probably, and there were two men in the church. So both of the men in the church, committed to the church, both of them had kids in the church around the same age.
Okay.
All right, so both of them were in kids' church age. Their kids were probably 7, 8 years old. And so the two dads were talking, and I was present for the conversation. So the two dads are talking, and one of the sons comes running up, and the dad goes, oh, what did you learn about today in kids' church? And the kid was like, we learned about David and Goliath. And the dad was like, you're 8 years old. You're just now learning about David and Goliath in kids' church? Essentially being like, they should have taught you that 3 years ago. Why are they teaching it to you now? And the other dad looked at him, bro, dead in his face, and was like, my kids learned about that at home. And I'll never forget that, being like,
yeah,
yes, sir. Like,
and it's like, how come they, yeah.
How come they're not more spiritually, you know, like as a parent coming to the teacher, how come you guys aren't teaching more spiritually advanced stuff? The teacher looking back and be like, how come you aren't teaching more? Like, we're just supposed to be the icing on the cake. We're not the whole cake. Like, we're just supposed to be, you know, helping. You're the one that's supposed to raise your kids up in the way that they should go. And when they older, they won't get, when they get older, they won't depart from it. Not us.
Right.
You know, and I think parents need to grab a hold of that truth, because some of the parents out there don't do that. I mean, I can think of parents right now that it's like, man, I want my kid to love God. It's like, but you don't act like you love God. Like, mm-hmm. you don't do anything. Like, I really want my kids to grow up and make, you know, biblical God-based decisions. It's like, you're not teaching them, and you're not bringing them to church, and you're not introducing them to God. So when they get to high school, don't be shocked when they become atheist or whatever, or at least say they're agnostic or atheist or whatever, and then want us to fix it. Like, yeah. That's not going to work.
Nah, not even a little bit.
Right. So I think parents really need to be thinking through two things. And this is, you could take this for what it's worth. It can be worth a lot to you or a little, but I think parents need to be thinking about two things very seriously. A, I think they need to be thinking about how they are discipling their children in the homes, particularly fathers. Are you the spiritual leader in the house? And B, I think we need to be rethinking education for our kids in regards to the public school system, and the fact that our world is using the public school system as indoctrination camps versus having conversation about Christian private or classical education. I think we need to be rethinking those two things.
Interesting.
I'm not saying you're a terrible parent if your kid goes to public school. I went to public school. I'm saying I think you need to be rethinking that, especially because the current public school system is an indoctrination system. It wasn't as bad 20 years ago when I was in school, but it's worse now. And I think you at least need to be having the conversations about how you're going to counter the indoctrination that's happening in your kids. Just putting that out there.
Mm. Well, and, well, see, I can't say that. And, let's move on. I can't even say it.
You can't say it.
Well, I can't because it quickly people are going to think it's political, and it's really not. But, like, you know, even in our own state, you know, we're signing laws, you know, forbidding the teaching of actual history. You know, it's like, that's crazy to me.
Fair enough.
You know.
I don't think you're out of line saying that.
Because of buzzwords. Because, right. Because history and the teaching of certain history has these buzzwords attached to it. They're sure. Now signing laws that they're outlawing it because... and I won't go further because then can kind of get into a political conversation and a race conversation and all these things. But that's just nuts. I mean, it's just nuts.
Indoctrination camps is what our public school system has become. We'll say this on many levels, not just religious ones.
Correct.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I think that it's vital, man, that we take a step back, look at how the spiritual discipline world is impacting our kids. And how as parents, particularly, again, we're talking about fathers, whether or not we're stepping in and fulfilling that role, because it's so important, man. Like it's so vital, that we guard that, you know,
big time.
We talked about humility and, you know, talked about the idea behind meekness and weakness and, you know, we hit on that. You can go back and listen to the sermon, you know, really unpacking that, man. I just think that, I think the way I see a lot of fathers and husbands acting, and John, Justin, and anyone listening or watching live right now, you guys can feel free to give me your input, but this is what I see. I see the vast majority of fathers that I know fall into one of two camps. So either they are the one who just kind of do whatever their wife tells them to do, and they don't really have a lot of courage, right? Or they're the overcompensating father and husband, where they're dogmatic and kind of a jerk to everyone, and they're very passive in regard to, or they're hyperactive. So I see a lot of husbands are either super passive and they play practically no role in raising their kids properly, or they're overbearing, you know, hyperactive, always trying to flex their muscles and I'm the law, do what I said, like that kind of
thing. I see what you're saying.
Like, I see those two things a lot, right? And it's like, I'm the man of the house, so like, wife, kids, y'all go clean. Y'all do the dishes. Like, y'all do what, like,
right.
Serve me because I'm the breadwinner or I'm the man of the house or whatever. And it's like, bro, both of those are equally as unhealthy for fathers.
100%.
Like, that's tragic.
100%. And I didn't come out of either one of those environments.
Same. Yeah.
You know, not at all. And, like, I think, like, my mom and my stepdad, you know, my mom doesn't work. Well, I mean, she kind of does now a little bit, but...
She wants to.
She wants to, yeah. And she kind of does this thing on the side, helping this lady out and, you know, whatever. But essentially, she doesn't work. My stepdad has the job and does the work, you know, so my mom does everything in the home, like, as far as... She cooks, she cleans, their house is always spotless and clean.
Right,
like
right,
your
right.
mom keeps your house or her house. Yeah. She cook, you know, there's dinner for my stepdad when he gets home. She makes his lunch. He works for the railroad, so he's gone. So he packs a cooler lunch
because
you're not swinging through a drive through, you know. She packs his lunch and stuff like that. But it's like, she even like mows the grass and stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's what she likes to. But in her, one, he doesn't tell her or make her do that.
Right.
That's in her. That's how she views. That's her contribution to the household.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't have to work a 12-hour shift and then come home and mow the grass.
In her mind. Right. Gotcha.
Now, back in the day, I can remember when we were younger, when they did live here, when she did work, or even when she did work, that was very different.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
the expectations changed.
He did not have the expectation. He doesn't have that expectation on her now, okay, I don't think. Yeah. It's just that's what she wants to do. And I think she's right. I don't think it's a woman's place to cook and clean.
Sure.
I do think it's whoever's home's place to cook and clean if you don't work. Yeah. Like, if that is your job.
Sure.
You know, I think if you don't work all day and your house is a mess and you don't cook and your spouse is, whether male or female, like, that's a problem.
Sure. That makes sense.
So, like, it's not a, that's just a contribution to the household. And right. I think that's great. You know, when she did work a full-time job, it was very different and things were shared more. Like, the responsibilities were shared.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, I think that is great, though. And I wouldn't consider that old-fashioned. I just would consider that both people equally doing their part.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I remember because it is like fathers in particular, all of us, as this is what we said on Sunday, these are things that we as believers need to get better at, but certainly fathers can be better at it too. But like, man, introducing humility and saying like, it's like, man, I feel like I'm the only one. Well, it's like, well, if that's all you do, then you being the only one, or if that's kind of part of your response, then that's not the end of the world. Like, more on you. Like, two big thumbs up, you know? But at the same time, like, but I think what you said is key, though. Because even for your stepdad, like, he doesn't expect it. So if he were to come home and he did need to do a couple of things, I'm sure he'd be fine with it. Like, I've met him enough times. I know his personality.
Fine.
So he's like, yo, if I came home and she just got done with dishes and she was just tired, like, I'll wash the dishes. Like, it's no big deal. Like,
yeah, totally.
We do this together. And I think that's so important, man. I'll never forget. I might get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. So I'll never forget. I was in a small group one time with some guys, and it was a real deal accountability, like, growing men type of group. Okay. And it was kind of a secret group, kind of off the record a little bit. A lot of people didn't know about it. So it wasn't like an official transformation church group. Like, this is something me and a group of guys were doing to, like, be better as men and husbands and fathers and blah, blah, blah. All right, so the whole nine. So I remember one time, one of the men in the group, I had found out through his wife had told someone else, it got back to me, that, like, when it came to being around the house, like, him and her both worked, but when it came to being around the house, like, he didn't do nothing. Like, he would come home from work, sit on the couch, and he just expected everyone else, her, the kids, all that stuff to do everything around the house. Like, so he was, like, he did nothing, was contributing nothing, just kind of lazy when it came to that stuff. And I was like, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, tell me if it, you know, like, I had a conversation with him, tell me if it gets any better, didn't get any better, whatever, whatever. So, bro, me and four of the guys from the group, right? Me and four of the guys, I was just telling Adam Simon this the other day. I was telling him this story. Me and four of the guys from the group showed up to his house while he was on the couch and the family was cleaning. And we showed up and he was like, what are y'all doing here? And I was like, we came to help clean since you don't. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, no. He's like, we heard that you don't do nothing around here. Like, you expect everyone else to serve you like some sort of master. I was like, I'm here to show you that you're not supposed to be the one that just sits around. So guess what? You're going to sit here and watch football like you usually do. And me and the guys are going to help your wife and your family out since you're not willing to do it. Mm. And he was like, no, I'll help. And I was like, no, we're here now. I said, sit down and watch football. I was like, I said, we're going to show your wife and your kids what a man is supposed to be doing since you won't show them. Bro.
He was not happy, I'm sure.
He still helps clean to this day at his house.
I bet he does.
But I'm not saying we should just go around doing that. Maybe we should show up at a few cats' house, though. You know what I'm saying?
You got to get a point across, too. But
yeah. So
I get it. I mean, I think there's sometimes... and a lot of that, I think, is communication. I think there should be conversations pre-marriage.
There were three conversations before that.
Pre-marriage, like, what are the expectations? Like, if you come out of a real traditional or maybe old-fashioned mentality, like, those need to be conversations. Like, if you have not talked about – if you hate washing clothes,
yep,
doing laundry, and you don't have that conversation with the person you're going to marry prior to marriage about,
they might hate it too.
I hate laundry. 'Cause the spouse may love it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I hate washing dishes. Well, I'll do that if you do the laundry. It's like, okay, cool, agreement.
Well, yeah, that's exactly, that's funny you say that. Me and Ashley are in that space right now. So She doesn't mind laundry. She doesn't mind dishes. Other than that. I hate laundry and I hate dishes. I hate both of those things. Like,
I don't mind either one.
I can't stand it. It just, ugh. But, like, my contribution to the house is, you know what? Like, I hate both of those things, but I'm not going to ask my wife to do both of the things that I hate doing. So it's like, I'll take dishes. She takes, so she does all the laundry. I usually do all the dishes. Sometimes she'll jump in there and do whatever. But for the most part, she does the laundry. I do the dishes. Like, why? It's like, I love her enough. That's what I'm honoring her.
And
you know what I mean?
And I think some people have, I think it's just a communication thing with your spouse. Like, I could see how some people have understanding. It's like, I'll handle everything inside the house. You handle everything outside.
Yeah, there's people, plenty of people that do that.
You do the grass and make sure the trash is out and the you know, those things. It's like, and
I think, yeah, and I don't think there's a right or wrong.
There's not.
You're
right.
I think as long as you're having conversations.
And are both contributing.
And contributing. And going back to what we're talking about, having enough humility to be able to hear from your spouse, particularly men, we're talking about fathers right now, men, hear from your kids or your wife that, hey, I could really use help in this area, and you not puff out your chest and be a jerk about it, or ignore it by default also being a jerk about it. So I just think like those things are important. We can really do better in those areas. And so, yeah, understanding humility doesn't make you weak. There's a big difference between weakness and meekness. And we talked about it on Sunday. You can go listen to the actual sermon if you want to get some of those nuggets, but
good stuff.
And then we talk about instruction, and you know, three areas where fathers can really step it up. We talk about instruction, man, and getting back to a generation of fathers that teach. Like,
I had that.
Yeah, I had a dad that taught me. Like, he taught me about, you know, a career. He taught me about college. He taught me how to build stuff. He taught me how to, you know what I mean? Like, don't forget this. Or like, I'll never forget. I built my very first speaker box, you know, when I was 15, you know, I got a car, I was getting ready to put a system in it, the whole nine. We built the custom boxes to go in there. And that was when he was teaching me stuff about boxes. And he was like, hey, don't forget, you got to account for the wood. Like, when you're building stuff, right. So like the wood is 3/4 inch thick, so you got to account for that whenever you're cutting and making measurements. Like, he taught, so I just, like, I remember all of that, but like, that was valuable, not just so that I'm not in construction, so it's valuable because he just taught me things, and it didn't just teach me about how to cut, you know, take account for the wood or count 3/4 inches, but it also taught you how to plan ahead. Taught you how to, like, okay, you need to be thinking about not just this, you need to be thinking about these 6 other things too. While you're thinking about this, because all that's going to play into the end product, which lo and behold, I am in a profession where I do have to think about not just the thing that's right in front of me, but the other 6 things that's going to be impacted by this decision.
Correct. Yeah.
So it, you know, I mean, everything, a lot of what he taught me had a lot more to do with life than just the thing we were learning, which is what I believe, you know, good fathers do. You know, I'll teach you about this, but while I'm teaching about this, I want you to learn about all this. You know,
I definitely know. I think that what my dad was good at was, someone just said this the other night, was at dinner, that I know a little bit about of a lot of things.
Right.
You know, like, I know of them. I may not even know, can like have a conversation, but it's like, there's just so, I just, and I think that's something my dad was good at. Like, I just remember always talking about all kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, I knew what a mutual fund was and like how to bank and like stuff. Yep, like, yep, like, yep, yep. Little thing, how to, I mean, I was prepared to live on my own when I moved out on my own.
Yeah.
I was prepared for it.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, I'm not very handy. My dad's way more handy with stuff like that than I am.
Gotcha.
I just don't like it.
Yeah. Like, you know, not your thing.
It's not. I just don't like it. I can do stuff. You know, if anything, I can definitely even learn to do stuff if I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I just don't like that kind of stuff. Where my dad's way more like that than I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just knew stuff. He taught us stuff. And a lot of that was just through conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just talk. One of the things I remember is because he worked for the city of Pensacola. He like at one point did cable like part time and all this. So it's like, I just remember him always teaching us a different way to get somewhere. Like, okay, we're going to the mall, but today we're going to go this way.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like little things like that. It's like, I mean, we all know people that don't know how to get anywhere, or they only know one way to get there.
Literally.
And it could be the wrong way.
They're adults, and they can't get around the city.
Right, but it's like
they've lived in for 20 years.
But if that's not, it doesn't come natural to you, I get it. But it's like, I just remember that kind of thing, you know, like just, yeah, I don't know, all kind of stuff. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know, all kind of stuff. It just was all, we were always talking, like, you know, mm-hmm. he was always talking about stuff, teaching us stuff.
Which, like, I'm glad you said that, because parents, hear me on this.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be real hard to teach your kids stuff if you're always staring at your cell phone.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have that problem.
I think that's part of it.
I think so, too.
Like, yeah.
They're
parents,
they're not talking to your kids.
Stop looking at your Instagram and have a conversation with your kid. I started doing something periodically, just like I'm started paying attention to my own habits a little more, figuring out where some of my time is going, some of those things, especially since I got COVID, realizing that my time structures of my day where I'm the most beneficial and productive is changing. So I've been paying attention to a few things, and I've started realizing that I get a lot of, I think through a lot of things better when I, like, when I don't have the opportunity to pick up my phone. Yep. So, like, I charge my phone in my office at the house, not in my bedroom. So there's been opportunities, like, my phone's about to go dead. I had to go plug it in my office, and I'm sitting on the couch, and a commercial break comes on the TV show. What's your default response? You grab the phone and look at it because you don't want to have to sit through the commercials. Like, I don't know if people realize that. I do that. Maybe other people do it, too.
I don't have commercials.
So, well, like Hulu and stuff. But, yeah, yeah. So I was like, and I started realizing that. And so the commercial was coming on. And so I started realizing, man, every time a commercial comes on, I grab my phone. I was like, let me not do that and just kind of sit in this space. And, bro, I had like two great ideas the other day because I wasn't just burying my face in my phone.
Yeah.
All that to say, parents, when it comes to your kids, put your stinking phone down.
Well, please. There's also data, you know, even further with that.
Early childhood education.
Early childhood education, yep. And kindergarten readiness. Kids aren't able to read, and the kids' vocabulary is far less than what it used to be, mainly because their moms, a lot of times it's just moms because dads aren't even in the picture, which goes back to what we said earlier, fatherlessness. That's a problem in and of itself. But
yep.
Moms aren't talking to their kids like we grew up. Like, they don't know words because they're not being talked to.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, exactly.
There's just something to that.
Yeah. So talk to your kids. Teach your kids.
Instruct them.
Yeah. Again, even go back to what I was talking about with a guy at the restaurant, you know, the other day. You know, one of the things that I think was important is, you know, fathers, parents in general, definitely fathers, I want you to think about how many times you get on to your kids for not knowing something you never taught them. So, like, they do something in the house, but they don't know that it's a bad thing to do, and you freak out, and you're like, you're treating them like they're supposed to be born with this information.
Yeah.
It's like, have you taken moments to instruct them before you criticize them?
Right, right, right.
Like, have you taught them not just not to do something, but why not to do it before you get mad at them when they do it?
Yeah, that's good.
Like, I think those are just really important things that we need to assess, you know, and no one's perfect. Like, you know, Justin's got his, you know, parenting guide for, what is the book called?
The Non-Parent's Guide to Parenting.
The Non-Parent's Guide to Parenting.
That's funny.
No, yeah, it's, you know, we're not saying anyone's perfect, but there are some things that I think are just like staring us in the face that we can get better at. No one's a perfect parent. No father's a perfect father. And we already got enough stuff beating us up. But here's the deal. I think when it comes to fathering and parenting, we look to grand gestures to replace what we should do less of consistently. Here's what I mean by that. I believe we think 4 trips to Disney World every year is going to by default make our kids believe we're good parents rather than just having a conversation with them for 30 minutes every day. So we're looking for grand gestures to replace what we should be doing consistently.
Yeah.
Like,
my view is just so different on that.
Nothing wrong going to Disney World 4 times, for the record. Like, I'm not against any of that.
No, I'm saying.
We just need to get consistent with the small things.
Yeah.
So
I just feel like you don't even have to tell your kids that Disney World exists. And you don't have to worry about doing that. But
John already ruined that for Theo. He knows Disney World exists.
Like, you know,
the Sapp family and the Garrido family, Chris and Sarah, they're going to know that Disney World exists. I guarantee it.
They just
100%.
Yeah, no, we know.
And Universal.
All of it, all the above. Star Wars, the whole nine. So
you betcha.
So yeah, that's what we talked about. And so yeah, man, just getting back to the idea of instruction and fathers, you know, teach your kids, instruct your kids, like all of those things. And so we did talk about the three things that, you know, that kids need. Go listen to the sermon for, and we really broke them down. Identification, you know, recognition, belonging, association, like identification. They need to be told who they are. Affection, they need love, they need fondness, display of emotional liking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So affection is key. And then affirmation, encouragement, celebration, value, and established understanding that they're worth something. And so that those things are important. And so, yeah, as a father, you can survive, you can strive, you can thrive. And so just remembering that your family doesn't need a perfect father, but they do need a present one.
That's good.
So
it's good stuff.
Let's be their dads.
Tighten up, dads.
Yep. Opportunities for improvement. Let's do it. All right. 30-second answers from each one of you. All right. You ready?
Yep.
You won the lottery. Wow. 100 mil. What you spending it on? Out the gate.
Out the gate?
Yes. Yeah,
so first thing?
What's the first three things you're going to spend it on?
Tithe.
Okay.
Travel and a house.
Anywhere particular you're traveling to?
The world.
Okay. Just
no timeline.
Circle all the way around. All right.
Just going. I'll see y'all when I get back.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Perfect.
And I would probably do, I'm not just going to say a house. Like I would set with 100 mil.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, I would have the things I've always wanted. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Take care. When I said tithe, maybe I should just mean, you know, like your benevolence. I'm going to give to the church because that's what I do. We sure. Tithe. I'm going to make sure the people close to me, you know.
Gotcha.
Kind of taken care of. I'm going to make sure I'm taken care of and me and my future from, like, from an estate planning. And
gotcha.
I want a nice home and the nice things, the things, you know, gotcha. Your money buys things. Okay. But I would also do stuff for the people around me and include tithe. And I want to travel though. I mean, if you could travel with no budget and no yeah. timeline, come on.
Shh, get out of here. Yeah.
Come on.
John, is your list any different?
Sort of.
All right.
Tithe, invest.
Okay.
I would continue investing because at that point that was you have a lot of money, but you can make even more.
That's the first three things you're going to do. You're going to invest?
Yeah.
All right.
And then the last one is obviously, you know, live a nicer lifestyle, I guess. Yeah. You know, just get a nice house and nice cars. And
for the record, my...
You going to keep the cobalt?
I might tune it up, you know, make it a little street car. Okay, yeah.
I would take a bat to it.
Get you a spoiler.
give you a little high spoiler.
Nah.
Call it my go-kart.
A wide body kit. The whole nine. Do it up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My investing was included in my setting myself up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, gotcha. It wasn't. You didn't say it.
I didn't say the topics. Word, but you it was like, it. Okay. You know, making sure it. Myself, you know.
Yeah. No, same. Tithing. Bitcoin. Tithing. Debt free. I would make sure at that point. You know what I mean? Like I'm 100 mil. I'm probably me and
everybody. Debt-free.
Everyone that shares the last name with me is fitting to be. Yeah, it's fitting to be debt free. Tithing, debt free. Set everything up, and then either get my wife her pit bull rescue that she wants, or travel the world with her, whichever one she wants first, and then. If there was a fourth one, we would do the other one after that. So that's pretty
I'm
much
about
the,
to travel.
The way yeah. that would go. So take her to Italy and all that stuff.
All the fun stuff.
So, cool. All right, guys. Well, Justin, tell them where they can find more about the church.
Find us online, transformationchurch.com or Instagram and Facebook at Transformation Pensacola.
That's it, guys. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Another week. We got a guest going on the episode next week, so you can be looking out for that. We'll catch you guys. Pastor Scott Thomas is coming in this weekend. It's going to be amazing. He's kicking off the Summer Jam series. So we got some big stuff up our sleeve for this weekend and the weeks to come. So
yep. Can be good.
check us out next week for another week, another sermon, another fall podcast.
See you guys.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Transformation Church weekly follow-up podcast. It would mean so much to us if you would subscribe, like, and review us on iTunes. You get double points if you show love by sharing it with your friends. Don't forget, you can follow Pastor Brad and Pastor Justin on Instagram and Twitter at @BradLivingston_ and @JustinOswald_. Tweet them your questions and comments or email them to us at follow-up@transformationchurch.com.
And for more information on Transformation Church, visit us online at mytc.life and on Instagram and Facebook at Transformation Pensacola.